We're going to start off in a new series called Crucial Questions. It comes from this guy, a theologian named R.C. Sproul. He wrote like over 20 different books addressing different questions that people had about the Christian faith. And so we're going to go through some of these questions because it's not just smart theologians that have these questions. It's students. It's your everyday Joe. It's your people who, you know, work a 8-to-5 job. It's your people who come to church on Sundays. Everyone has these questions. Tonight is the first line of the series. We're going to be addressing the question about prayer. The question is, does prayer change things? So that's kind of the setup of the semester. It's going to be the setup for tonight. So if you would bow your heads and pray with me before we start tonight. Father God, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for this opportunity for these students who have decided to come here, God, and just pray that you bless them this evening, and I just pray that you open up our hearts and our ears and be receptive to what you are saying to us and how you're working in us tonight. God, I just pray that we can just love you and serve you every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've ever heard of a motivational speaker or someone who comes to your school or a certain assembly and it talks about your life and your life has purpose, your life has meaning. Someone who's trying to tell you that you are important and that you have a goal for living, you have a reason for living. What if I said that I think not only do you have a purpose for living, but you have a purpose as a Christ follower? What would that purpose be? Someone? What's the goal of being a Christian? R.C. Sproul says the goal of being a Christian is a life that is led of godliness, or becoming more like Christ. You're putting on godliness, you're putting on the characteristics, and you're exemplifying who God is to others around you. Now this is done, Sproul says, as a result of obedience to Jesus Christ. But wait, I thought we were talking about prayer. How does prayer fit into this discussion of godliness and obedience? I would beg to say that prayer is the start of obedience. Prayer is, it shifts the focus off of you and it puts your focus on God. In order to be obedient, you have to be looking to something else to be obedient to. If I'm not being obedient to something else, then I'm just doing what I want to do. I'm doing what makes me feel good. Prayer shifts the focus off of me and puts it on God, the person who I'm ultimately obedient to. Because of this truth, prayer plays a vital role in the life of a Christian. Sproul, the author says, one might pray and not be a Christian, but one cannot be a Christian and not pray. Romans 8:15 says this, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, why in the heck does this have to do with prayer? And why does this have to deal with one cannot be a Christian and not pray? I would say this. If you're a true Christian and you've been adopted by God into his family, the result of that is that you should be talking to him. If you're truly saved and you identify as a Christian, you should be talking to your Heavenly Father. Verse 15 says, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba means dad. Some people think more like a term of endearment of daddy. It's a relationship that you have with your father. You talk to him. You're not silent in that. And so, if you consider yourself a Christian, you have to have communication to your Father. But if prayer is so important as a follower of Jesus, then why is it one of the most neglected things that we do? I know many Christians, including myself, who struggle with prayer. And I don't think I'm the only one in this room that struggles with prayer. If it's so important, if it's so vital, if it's true, the statement is one cannot be a Christian and cannot pray. If that's so important to us, then why is it the most neglected thing that we do. Luke 22 gives a pretty good picture of a story of Peter, many of us are familiar with. Jesus is in the garden. It's the night before he's crucified, and he brings his disciples with him, and he's gone off to pray by himself. But he warns his disciples, hey, pray with me and pray for me so you yourselves won't be led into temptation. Peter is in this group of disciples that Jesus is talking to. What happens? Peter falls asleep. He decides not to heed Jesus' warning and prayer, and he goes to sleep. Now notice what happens to Peter. After falling asleep, Jesus wakes him up and says, "Thought I told you to pray." They go into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is taken captive. Peter, not praying, thinks he can take on Roman soldiers, cuts off an ear when Jesus is arrested. What person can take on an entire army or a regiment of soldiers capturing Jesus? It's kind of foolish. Not only that, but then Peter denies Christ three times when people address him. He's like, hey, aren't you a Christ follower? And he says no all three times. All of this results in Peter falling into this temptation. And you know where it started? It started with going to sleep and not praying. And this way we relate to Peter. Before we sin in public, we first sin in private. Before we start doing actions that are contrary to God in public, we choose these things in private that don't honor God. It's not that sleep doesn't honor God, but it's the fact that Peter chose to serve himself in that before following after God in prayer and seeking God's help and guidance in prayer. So, we have this place of prayer. We haven't even addressed the question of how does prayer change things, but here we get to it. So, how does prayer change things? We have to start with this first truth that God is in control of everything. We call that sovereignty. God is sovereign. God is in control of every minute detail of the entire universe, which includes your life and mine. So knowing this truth, it's reasonable to ask, if God is in control of everything, why should I pray? And a follow-up reasonable question would be, does prayer change anything after all, knowing this truth? To answer the first question of, if God is in control, why should I pray? Well, you should pray because the sovereign God of the universe commands you to pray. Besides you're thinking of, you know, if God's in control, if God already knows what's happening, why should I pray? Besides that fact, you should pray because God, the sovereign of the universe, God, commands you to pray. That's the first reason why. Second, we must remember that prayer isn't used to change our situation, but it's used to change our attitude about our situation. So, for example, if something bad happens to me, let's just say, in high school, I got made fun of. Story time with Kent. I got made fun of a lot in high school because I was tall. They actually gave me the nickname of, I don't know if I should even say this. I'll say it. They called me Big Dumb Goofy Kid. So I was made fun of a lot. I also got slapped in the face with cheese by another student of my, that was a student with me, in the cafeteria room almost every single day in the cafeteria. Didn't ask for it. He just came up behind me and just slapped me with a piece of cheese. And it frustrated me. I was really upset. I was like, and the biggest thing, he was a shrimp. I was like, do you realize who you're messing with? Never retaliated. But it hurt. I got made fun of a lot. Now, it would have been really easy for me to say, God, please let this stop happening. And I did. But it's not enough just to say that. We should also add, God, please help me grow in my patience with this person. God, please help me grow in my forgiveness towards this person. It's not enough just for God to ask God, God, please change my situation. It's God, please change my heart in my situation. And so I can see how you're working in my life when life kind of stinks. When trials are happening, when people are making fun of me, when things don't go the way I want to go. When a girl says no when I ask her to dance. When a guy says no when I ask him to prom. Or when I get an F on a test. Or when I don't make that sports team that I was really trying to make and that I love playing basketball and I just didn't make the cut. When trials happen, when bad things happen that don't go our way, we need to ask a question. God, how are you working in this and where are you at in this situation? And that way we see that prayer does change something. It changes our attitude about it. It may not change our situation, but it changes our attitude. Besides changing our heart attitude about our situation, prayer also has a second purpose. This purpose of building our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is just like any other human relationship in the realm of communication. It means you need to talk to a person. If you're dating someone, you talk to them, right? Hopefully you talk to them more than, hey, give me, give me, give me, and I'm so sorry that I failed you and that I hurt you. Please forgive me. We call those people needy and jerks because they hurt you a bunch and they just ask for a bunch of stuff. You know what's really sad? That description fits too many of our prayer lives and our communication with God. God, I want, God, I want, God, I want. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm just hurting you a lot. Why is that the only times that we pray to God? When we want something or when we've failed and when we have sinned? Sounds like a pretty unhealthy relationship because you're hurting someone and you're just asking for stuff. What about in a dating relationship if you gave that person a compliment? Yeah. My wife-to-be in a month and a half, Amber, you look beautiful today. How hard was that? Or in a relationship, you not only compliment them, but you tell them how much you love them. You talk with them. You try to get to know them. You try to get to know their personality. You try to get to know what they like, what they don't like. You try to get to know that person for who that person is. Can I tell you it's the same way with your relationship with God? God loves it when you give him adoration or when you adore him or when you give compliments to him, when you thank him. God loves it when you tell him that you love him. God loves it when you want to read his word, the revelation of who he is. God loves it when you ask him questions about himself. God loves it when you want to get to know him and love him more. That, students, is a more in-depth and a way more healthier prayer life than just give me, give me, give me. Oh, oops, I've messed up again. I'm sorry. So, we've seen this picture. We've kind of tried to tackle this question of does prayer change things and what's the purpose of prayer? But now, how should you pray? You have this information, but how do I practically apply it? How should I pray? We see the same question asked about Jesus, asked to Jesus from his disciples in Luke 11. Luke 11:1 reads, he was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. We see here Jesus praying, his disciples seeing him praying, and then his disciples like, hey, Master, teach us to pray as well. I think they saw Jesus having this intimate connection with the Father, and they wanted that. Because they realized Jesus had something that they didn't. Because in that culture, in that time, it was God was feared so much that, you know, only the priests did that. Only the ones who worked in the temple could really come before God, because God was just so holy and so other that they couldn't even fathom coming to God. But Jesus has this personal, intimate connection with the God of the universe, the one, the creator of everything. And they went, I want that. Teach me how to pray like that, Jesus. So Jesus said to them, whenever you pray, pray like this. Father, your name to be honored as holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. Jesus starts off with, our Father, your name be honored as holy. So basically, he's describing who God is. He's adoring God for his holiness and his beauty. So when we pray, the first step is you come before God and be like, God, you're a beautiful God. God, thank you for being just an awesome God and how you've created the world. God, thank you for creating me. God, your creation is beautiful. Your love is unfathomable. And you start adoring who God is. Most of us don't even get to this point in our prayers. Most of us forget that we need to adore who God is. That God is a person, not just a thing. Next thing it says, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And in here, the English is translated a little bit differently, but it's really this attitude of thank you. It's this thank you for providing, because I know you're going to provide, so thank you for providing what I need, not just what I want. And so it's this sequence of adoration, thanks, and then it says, forgive us for our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And so it's adoration, thankfulness. It's also realizing, God, I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. So it's adoration, thankfulness, confession of sins. It says, and do not bring us into temptation. So this is what this is saying is, God, I'm asking you, God, please, please don't let any harmful, evil thing come against me. And so we see four different things here, and it spells out acts. We have adoration, we have confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. This is the pattern that Jesus lays out for us to pray. This doesn't mean that we need to pray this exact prayer in Luke 11. But what this is a pattern of how to pray. So when you pray, and when we go into small groups and we talk about your prayer life, and we get a little bit more personal with these questions about, hey, where's your prayer life at, and how are you communicating with God? I want you to think of these four letters, A-C-T-S. Adoration. Am I complimenting God when I pray, when I'm communicating to him? Am I letting him know how beautiful I think he is to me? Confession. When I come and pray to God, am I confessing? Am I confessing the sins, the mistakes that I've made, that I'm directly disobedient to him? Am I confessing those things where I failed in, those sins, whether it's sexual sins, whether it's public sins, whether it's the sins of the private heart of pride, whether it's these sins of lust, whether it's these sins of, you name it, greed, the sins of selfishness, of only looking out for me. Confession is crucial to our prayer life. Thanksgiving. T. First off, we should be thankful that he died for us, that God sent Jesus to save us. If you have a hard time being thankful for anything, that should be the most thing you should be thankful for, the first and foremost, for salvation, for Christ dying for you. Second is the life that God gave you. God has a purpose for your life, and he placed you right where he wants you. The fact that God is in control and that he knows exactly what he's doing, that he's placed me here for a reason and a purpose, should be just reason for thanks. Thanking God for never failing me, looking at where I failed him in the past, but he is always faithful and present and not, and he has never failed me yet. And then thanks for all the blessings. Do you realize that the fact that you're born in America, the fact that you're born in Central Illinois, we'll skip that one. But the fact that you're born in the USA, one of the greatest countries in the world, one of the richest nations in the world, think of just material blessing in that way. It's the small things you can be thankful for. Be thankful for the people you have relationships with around you. Be thankful for whatever. It's the small things. It could be the big things. Shoot dang, be thankful for hype. A group of students who you can come together with and have fun in a positive atmosphere. S, supplication. What supplication is, just is, it's this big word that really just means requests. So you're requesting something. You're asking God for something. This isn't bad. This is something that God wants you to do. James says you have not because you've asked not. And so if it's within God's sovereign will, if your heart is in tune with God, if you're following and being obedient to his word, and you ask out of obedience to him, God will give you that. In his sovereign time, in his sovereign will, he will give you that if it's within his plan. So don't be afraid to ask. If you're obedient to God, if you are in communion with God, come boldly to the throne and say, God, hey, this is something that's on my heart. If this is truly in your will, God, I pray that you give this. Don't be afraid to ask God. So think about these things when we go into small groups in a few minutes. But to close, before we sing a song and a call response in a song, I just want to end with this thought and these questions of, where are you at in your prayer life today? One, do you pray? And do you pray outside of your mealtimes prayer? Because I know we grew up in a society and a church culture that you pray before your meal, and that's about the only times people pray in the day. So one, do you pray? Two, are your prayers consistently the same prayer over and over again, or do you actually try to be intentional with your prayers and change it up? Because it's really easy to fall into this pattern of prayer, not that pattern of prayer, but our own pattern of prayer of, thank you, God, for today. Bless this food that I'm about to eat. Keep me from harm. Help this unhealthy burger somehow nourish my body. Amen. Sometimes that is the extent of our prayer life. And that falls way short of that. It falls way short of the communication that God wants of you. It falls way short of the communication that we need with God. So where's your prayer life at today? I can tell you that mine needs a lot of work. I'll confess right now, I fall into my own pattern of praying way too often. Where are you at? In the song, I ask you to stand as we sing a song of just confession of needing God, and a song of adoration of how beautiful he is. A song just to say, God, I need you. God, I love you. Let's stand. Before we go to our small groups, I just want to pray. And I just want to pray through these four letters, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for just being a good father to us, God. Thank you for loving us. God, you are beautiful. Your plan for creation is beautiful. God, thank you so much for who you are and how loving you are to us. God, you are holy. You are just amazing, and you are just so other, God, that we don't even know how to express our adoration to you sometimes. God, I just thank you for who you are. God, I just pray as I know as I sin daily, God, and as I know every human here, we struggle with this thing called sin, God, this problem of serving self instead of serving you. God, and I just confess tonight, God, that God, please forgive us for that, for our sin of selfishness, for our sin of trying to put others or other things as Lord of our life other than you. God, please forgive us for that. God, thank you for choosing to save us. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for just the students who came here tonight, God, to hear about you, to gather together, to just be with other believers. God, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have, that we can gather a bunch of middle school and high school students together, and that we can do ministry and we can do life together. God, thank you for that. Thank you for these opportunities. God, and I just pray for these students. God, for some requests, God, I just pray that that you can help these students as they start school this week. God, help them to focus well in classes after a lengthy winter break. God, I just pray that that you can keep drawing them closer to you individually. God, I pray that if anyone here that doesn't know you, God, in an intimate, personal way, I pray that you would touch their hearts tonight. God, I pray that they would come before you and realizing that they need a Savior from themselves. God, I just pray that they would know you in that way. God, we love you. We serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.